This is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
90 degrees, Aaron?
Yeah, you like that?
I don't love it. I don't mind it. No. I prefer the 70s. They're nice
Same.
For me. I'm very pale.
Oh. 72? The least 80s. 80s is great.
72 and sunny is my ideal temperature.
Well, yeah, isn't it? Everybody's.
Right?
Nicole and I went on a paddleboarding expedition yesterday in Kirkland, and I will say the waves were a little large.
They were large yesterday.
I thought we were going to have to get rescued.
But the water was warm.
Yeah,
water was really warm.
Very nice.
Waves were large. I didn't inflate my paddleboard quite enough, and so I was sinking a tad.
A little bit. You were taking on some water.
Yeah, a combination of it not being properly inflated and my COVID weight was not a great, was not a
were
good
you, Were you following the law, wearing a life jacket?
Well, Brandy. Listen. All right, let's get to our fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is can we start with something? I was going to start with this pot shop thing. Can I change gears?
Of
I want to start on a positive note.
Do it.
There is a man named Kevin Ford. He's 54 years old, and he has worked at Burger King for 27 years. That's quite the accomplishment, to work anywhere for 27 years. My mother just retired from American Crystal Sugar after 44 years. And so I know how you know, it takes a lot of effort, I think, to stay in one place for that long.
Right. He said never missed a day.
Never missed a day in 27 years working at Burger King. His family says he kept the job all these years because it had great benefits. And he got a little goodie bag for this accomplishment. And he was on video showing off the goodie bag.
A movie ticket. Thank you very much.
Movie ticket.
And I also got a bag of Reese's. This is very nice. From Starbucks. Thank you, guys.
It's a Starbucks cup.
And it's like a lanyard, two pins, two lifesavers.
Two lifesavers.
Lifesavers. So we've got, what we've got so far? Movie tickets, bag of Reese's, two pens.
At Starbucks, a nice Starbucks
cup. Lifesavers.
So it's good to show what they, you know,
That's
their
it.
Appreciation for loyalty and for all you've done for the company. This is my reward for working for 27 years. Thank you, guys.
He's sincere.
So he is adorable, and he is really like, thank you so much.
Yes, he's very sincere about it.
But I think we all know, I have this story. My one of my dear friends growing up, I don't know if her mom Tammy's listening, but I remember one day we get over to my friend's house, and her mom had celebrated this like 25-year milestone at her employer, and they got her a butter dish, like a dish, you know, where you put the butter and there's a lid on it.
That was her gift.
And she had a few drinks, and she was like, this is what they give me, a butter dish, and she was furious.
Was it collectible, or
no,
did she
collect
something?
No, it was just a butter dish. No, it was a butter dish.
Bizarre.
So she was very upset, and so I think it's adorable that Kevin Ford at 54, 27 years, didn't miss a day at Burger King. He's very grateful for his lifesavers and his movie ticket and his Starbucks thing. Well, the internet was not as happy as Kevin Ford was for this show of support that Burger King gave him. So there is a GoFundMe that was started for him to basically give him a proper thank you for his years of commitment. At this moment, this GoFundMe has raised $58,366, and $5,000 of that came from a celebrity, David Spade.
And I think he helped boost the attention that this GoFundMe was getting. So
yes,
his little $5,000
so
gave him.
David Spade gave $5,000, also saw this and thought, man, that's not right. Kevin Ford has since come out and thanked everyone for the support.
And all the love that people are giving me is just so, so overwhelming. I just want to thank everyone so, so much. I'm grateful for anything. I don't want to say I want this or that. All I want is to go to work and have fun and make everybody's life better, like they're doing to me. So,
it's
good. Life is good. So, as long as you're here, you know, it's good.
Oh, my gosh. Can't we have more Kevin Fords right? in this world? Excited to work. He said he's just excited to have a job in these difficult economic times. What an awesome guy. Now, apparently a spokesperson for Burger King has weighed in on this and told TMZ, look, we're really dedicated to celebrating our team members, blah, blah, blah. And they claim that this was not from, like, corporate headquarters, but it was a peer-to-peer reward in recognition of this achievement. And so they're distancing themselves from the gift bag.
27 years. So it's not 25 or 30. I mean, your typical celebration, you know, moments. But yeah, I think it was from his team.
Yes, Burger King doesn't want to be responsible for this really, really terrible. Although Lifesavers are good. Haven't had those in a while. Might have to pick up a pack of Lifesavers. So anyway, I wanted to start on a positive note. Kevin Ford, what a nice man. I wish more people had that work ethic. In fact, wasn't Dory talking yesterday about the high school student who hadn't missed a single day of class? A
couple days ago, but yes.
That was not me.
Oh, that was me. I was super nerdy like that.
Oh, no. I missed many days, including in college. Attendance wasn't my strong suit. Oh, I got good grades, though.
I was devastated when I got chicken pox, and it made me miss a few days of second grade.
Real loser, Nicole.
Devastated.
Attendance wasn't my strong suit, but I got good grades, so I think that's fine. All right, up next in the Fastest 15, the city of Seattle has a real problem with keeping text messages, apparently. You might recall that basically everyone in any position of authority in the city of Seattle all of a sudden lost their text messages for the very critical period around the occupied protest zone. The chief of police, the mayor at the time, command staff members, just poof, apparently, oh yeah, we didn't retain our text messages. Well, the city of Seattle has now had to pay out $1.5 million to settle a lawsuit over similar accusations. So there is a cannabis shop, Marigold Products, and they were trying to relocate from south of downtown, to a location in Ballard. And all of a sudden, this relocation was blocked, and they had accused the city of playing favorites and reversing a licensing decision based on, you know, kind of a rival lobbyist or whatever. And so the Marigold location, Marigold Products, sought to kind of figure out what had happened here. And as it turned out, the city of Seattle was missing some text messages related to this decision to block the relocation of this cannabis facility. And so a judge has now awarded Marigold Products $1.5 million and blasted the city for, again, deleting text messages. It just, I mean, now you wonder. I really do wonder what happened around Chad's shop. I know the former mayor, Jenny Durkin, has insisted that her phone was just set to automatically get rid of text messages after 30 days. But look, she used to be a United States attorney. She knows how important the retention of these messages were. And the reason why that summer in Seattle gives me so much pause, where I'm not just going to take their word for it, is you had so many people who were in positions of power at one period of time who deleted messages. And that kind of makes me believe that they thought whatever was in those messages is worse than just paying the money, right? Mm-hmm. And I tend to think that's what happened here, is whatever was in those messages, that being discovered was worse than just paying $1.5 million of our hard-earned money towards this cannabis shop. So I am not giving the city the benefit of the doubt on any of this, because it's just too many quote-unquote coincidences all at once. All right, let's move on in the Fastest 15 to our friends in Oregon, our friends to the south. There's a lot of things that we've been told are racist. What's on our list of bike helmets? Racist. Fair enforcement, definitely. Fair enforcement is racist. What else? What am I missing? I mean,
oh my
there's
gosh.
So many
There's
things.
So many.
And so some Oregon teachers have come to the defense of their principal, claiming that the principal, Cynthia Moffitt, has suffered racism. So apparently this teacher is on the chopping block, and there is some disagreement as to why Principal Moffitt at Errol Hassell Elementary School in Oregon is on the chopping block. And there are some educators who have come to, and she's a woman of color. There are some educators who have come to her defense, saying that they believe that she has been the subject of racism in the workplace. And what is their evidence of this? Surely they have something very egregious that has happened that would suggest that Principal Moffitt might be fired as a result of racism. Well, these educators claim that in some meetings, they have witnessed examples of people rolling their eyes at the principal. And rolling your eyes, according to them, is a, quote, harmful practice rooted in white supremacy. Eye rolling. I tend to think that rolling your eyes is a harmful, horrible practice rooted in being a spoiled teenager.
Right.
Don't love, you never roll your eyes.
We often talk, or we often bring up The Office as, you know, it always relates somehow. Office and Seinfeld, there's always something that relates. And Stanley, who happens to be a black man, is known for his eye roll.
Yes.
So I'm not thinking that that's really, you know, race.
Now, don't get me wrong. Rolling your eyes is disrespectful. You never want to do it at work. Don't roll your eyes at your parents.
At least don't let them see you. It's very petty.
But I do not believe it is, quote, belongs on a list of, quote, micro and macro aggressions, or that it is a harmful practice rooted in white supremacy. I just think it's a harmful practice rooted in rudeness, probably. But yes, these educators coming to the principal's defense. We have witnessed eye rolling. I don't know if they have any of the said eye rolling on camera. I don't know if they've documented any of those.
It's one of those
microaggressions.
We talk about how swearing is often something that like releases stress, and they say if you swear, you know, those are the happy people or whatever it is. And I think eye rolling is in the swear.
You do
category.
Eye roll, but like as a joke probably. To friends. I've never seen you do it in a professional
right,
setting.
Not in a serious
yes.
way. But yes, I think it is a, you know, another stress reliever. If that's all you have to do is
racist.
A little eye roll.
Then you're racist. Sorry, Nicole.
Ouch.
I hope your bosses are listening. Nicole rolls her eyes, and that is a microaggression. And
careful,
also,
Brandy.
It's rooted in white supremacy. All right, Dave Chappelle, once the subject of cancel culture, is now doing the canceling himself, according to the Daily Mail. You might have heard this kind of, I think it's funny, Dave Chappelle lives in Ohio. He's just like this really famous guy. And Ohio, to me, just doesn't strike me as a place where you live if you're famous. But he likes his kind of solitude. So anyway, there has been this drama because there is or were plans for this big housing development right next to where Dave Chappelle lives. And I think that Dave Chappelle, his house was kind of isolated, right? And that's kind of the purpose of him living there. If I remember his comedy skits and him talking about his house. Well, this big developer bought the property right next to him, Oberer Land Developers. And they were going to put in a big development. And Dave Chappelle spoke at a public hearing about all of this, which I also think is quite hilarious.
Hi, I'm Dave Chappelle.
Okay, I'll get quiet.
I just want to say, and Marianne, I can talk to you about this privately. I don't know why the village council would be afraid of litigation from a $24 million a year company while it eats out a $65 million a year company.
He's referring to his own company.
Mm-hmm. I cannot believe you would make me audition for you. You look like clowns. I am not bluffing. I will take it all off the table. That's all. Thank you.
So, Dave Chappelle, I love how people are giggling in the background. I think that was them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dave Chappelle has purchased 19 acres closest to his property to prevent, therefore canceling, this company from being able to build a housing development, at least on those 19 acres. But I think it's interesting. He's suggesting that the council there, it was scared of this developer company suing over all of this. And Dave Chappelle's like, I have twice as much money as them, so you should be scared of me suing. We went to see Dave Chappelle on New Year's Eve. Wait,
oh,
you
I forgot
were with
about
us.
That. No, I didn't.
Oh, I just assume you're always with me for fun things.
I usually am.
Who am I going to see tonight?
Ron White.
Ron White. So in the span of in the same year, I'm going to go see two of the most offensive, allegedly, comedians out there. Ron White has been a favorite comedian of my boyfriend and I for a while. We love all his Netflix series. Apparently, he's sober now. If you've watched him on Netflix, he was a little bit of a drunk, and he talked a lot about like driving drunk, and he's always drinking. Well, my boyfriend got a call last night from one of his friends who we're going with saying, hey, did you know that Ron White's sober now? And we were all kind of like, oh, is it going to be as good? I mean, good for him. Obviously, that's a step he needed to take in his life. But I mean, I'm sure it'll still be funny. So Ron White, if you're listening in anticipation for tomorrow's show, I will be there. I would love to come backstage. I don't have to drink. I'm the DD tomorrow, actually. I'm our DD, so we'll be sober together. But I never miss up on an opportunity during a Dave Chappelle story to play the funniest clip that I think one of the funniest. Dave Chappelle has a lot of funny, but on Jussie Smollett.
The whole country was up in arms. He was talking about it all the time on the news. And for some reason, African-Americans, we were like oddly quiet. We were so quiet about it that the gay community started accusing African-American community of being homophobic for not supporting him. What they didn't understand is that we were supporting him with our silence. Because we understood that this was clearly lying. None of these details added up at all. He said he's walking down the street in Chicago and white dudes come up to him and say, "Hey, man, aren't you that from Empire?" Does that sound like how white people talk? They don't talk like that. It sounds like something that I would say.
Never a bad reason to play a good Dave Chappelle clip. Ah, that was good. So anyway, Dave Chappelle has canceled a development company by buying up the land that they plan to use to build a development right by his house. I think that's very interesting. And Ron White, I will see you tomorrow night. All right, coming up, you know, we've been talking about the crime that's been on the rise. There is a really terrifying story out of Issaquah. Issaquah is just not the place I think of when I think of crime. But this just shows that things are moving out of the cities into the suburbs. A young man in Issaquah woke up to not only an odd but a pretty horrifying sight, and that is a woman in his bedroom at 6 in the morning, and not by choice. He didn't want the woman there, rummaging through his things. We'll have the story of that young man. I can call him young, right?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Young man. Coming up next on the Dori Monson Show, Brandy filling in, and that has been your Fastest 15. So imagine that you are laying in bed, 6 in the morning, in your pajamas, maybe you're shirtless, maybe you don't wear pajamas, you're in the comfort of your own home. Again, 6 a.m., and you are startled awake by a burglar standing in your bedroom. That happened to a man named Kellen McKinney, lives in Issaquah. And I imagine there's a range of emotions when you are awakened by someone standing in your home. And this is a horrifying situation because we're seeing across the state burglaries on the rise. And this is just one of the most personal types of crime. Kellen joins us on the phone on the Dori Monson Show. Kellen, first of all, I'm sorry this happened to you.
Thank you for your condolences. It was really frustrating to deal with, and I've been dealing with the aftermath since, just all the logistics of replacing my cards, reaching out to renter's insurance, and it's been a whole process. So it's at this point kind of like I'm reliving it a little bit every day.
That's tough. And I appreciate you talking to us because I'm sure that that's kind of like reliving it as well. Can you characterize the area you live in? Issaquah, I guess, just doesn't strike me as, you know, some crime-ridden area where I'd be afraid every day of someone breaking into my home. So for you, is this, has safety been at top of mind before this?
It's been on my mind to a certain extent. And I always keep windows closed and doors locked. I've been here for maybe 3 years at this point, a little longer than the pandemic's been happening. And in that time, it seems like it's only been getting more and more frequent. Yeah. And the power will go out in the winter just because a lot of the power lines are running through trees. So everybody has generators. This is an example. And it seems like each year there are several people who get generators stolen, sometimes out of their driveway while they're running.
Take me through that moment. Again, 6 a.m., not the time I think most of us anticipate we're going to be the victim of crime. So take me through the moment where you wake up in your bedroom.
So it was mostly, well, I woke up to her walking into my room, opening the door, and rummaging through some items on a table next to the door. There wasn't even much on that table, like a sheet.
And I'm sorry, really, she had to have seen you in bed, right?
That's what I would have thought. She acted like she didn't see me.
And so you wake up and you're kind of confused, understandably so. And what do you say to her?
I said hello, which is maybe not what the first go-to would be to say to a burglar. But I also, in my confusion, thought maybe she was a contractor because the septic tank backed up the night before. And so that's why I was like, oh, hello?
And she said what?
She said hello back and stopped grabbing my things and just turned and walked out the door and shut it behind her. And I pretty much, at that point, I immediately figured out something's wrong. She's not supposed to be here. And I got up, put some shorts on, followed her downstairs. And then after she got out the door, she ran. And when I got out onto my front porch, I heard their car speeding off down the street.
One of the things about this that's really startling, you know, not only just the area that you live, but you have Ring cameras. I think it's a Ring camera, some sort of surveillance camera.
And, yeah, I have a camera system.
And you see, I'll get to you kind of going and looking at the video, but for people who haven't seen the video, you see this woman come up on the porch. She sees the camera, and it's as if the camera doesn't faze them at all. The idea of being caught, of their faces on camera, isn't a deterrent in the slightest. And for people who want to go watch this video, I mean, you see their faces plain as day. So for you, when you went and looked at that camera footage, what are you thinking about how brazen they were?
That was one of the things that pissed me off the most. And it kind of indicated to me that they think they can get away with it. And they are pretty secure in their feelings that even with camera evidence, they might not get in trouble for it.
And have they yet? What's the status of the investigation?
I'm not sure. I've been in contact with the sheriff, updating with information, additional information as I find it. But I think that they are maybe waiting to update me on until they actually have some concrete progress.
Yeah, I think the most identifiable thing are their face. I mean, this woman, I got to be honest, she just sort of looks like a normal chick. And, you know, I don't know what I expect a burglar to look like, but not that, for sure. Let's end with this. I don't know anything about your politics. I don't know anything at all about your politics. We didn't ask. It doesn't matter. But you said earlier that it seemed to you like they really thought, or they were comfortable with the thought that they could just get away with this, you know, cameras be damned. Why do you think that is?
One of the shots, the guy that broke in with her, he looks at the camera and then seems to shrug. Something about the way she looked at it, I don't know if she shrugged specifically, but she seemed to kind of look away like, oh, doesn't matter.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's the political climate around policing or there's the sheer number of crimes that are happening? What do you think would lead criminals to believe that they can have their face clear as day on a camera and it's not a big deal?
I wouldn't be surprised if it could be heavily impacted by the political climate. I also wouldn't be surprised if it's a combination of things. Maybe it's boosted by the fact that this area is so separated from the police. Maybe they don't have a normal living situation. Maybe they are hard to track down because of that. Yeah. My guess would be maybe a combination, but largely possibly the political climate.
Well, Kellen, I'm sure you've second-guessed a million things, but it sounds like you know, you've done what people are supposed to do. You know, locked your door, shut your windows. I know you've reinforced your windows since then, but I think this just proves that you don't have to live in what people consider a sort of a crime-ridden area to be the target of crime. And so it sounds like I hope that sheriff's deputies can get a hold of what's happening in your neighborhood, because it sounds like you're not the only one who's been victimized. And I'm glad that something didn't happen to you. You know, some people would wake up to a situation like that and the person wouldn't run away. And so, Kellen McKinney, I'm glad you're safe. I'm sorry about what happened. And hopefully sheriff's detectives can track down your stuff.
Thank you.
Much more ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Brandi Crews filling in. I like that song. Is that a harp? What is that in the background?
I have no idea.
I like it. Brandi Crews in for my friend Dory Monson. We predicted this would happen. There has been what I would call fear-mongering from some about the potential implications or dominoes should Roe v. Wade fall, which happened today. And one of those things has been folks on the left saying that interracial marriage could be next. That if you have abortion rights and that precedent fall, then you'd have gay marriage and then you'd have interracial marriage. And sure enough, Vice President Kamala Harris brought that up just moments ago, reacting to the SCOTUS decision.
This opinion also says, when you read it, that abortion is not deeply rooted in our nation's history. They offer that in the opinion as a foundation for the decision they render today. In holding that it is not deeply rooted in our history, today's decision on that theory, then, calls into question other rights that we thought were settled, such as the right to use birth control, the right to same-sex marriage, the right to interracial marriage. The great aspiration of our nation has been to expand freedom. But the expansion of freedom clearly is not inevitable. It is not something that just happens.
So her read, I think she's an attorney, right? Not a great read for an attorney. What she's referring to in terms of them using the 14th Amendment of the Constitution for the court to say, hey, this is not in our jurisdiction. There are several elements to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. One of them, and they're talking about the Due Process Clause, and it basically allows for rights that aren't enshrined in the Constitution to also be protected by the Constitution. But those rights have to be inherent to the idea of liberty, and they have to be things that were sort of always part of America as an institution, right? And so they're saying that abortion isn't one of those things. You know, up until, gosh, right before Roe v. Wade, most states in the country had laws outlawing abortion. And so they're saying, no, abortion isn't something that is just inherently protected in the Constitution because it was illegal in the United States for a very long time. And so she mentions interracial marriage, them using that same logic. Well, interracial marriage wasn't promised in the U.S. at the beginning, and so it can't be protected by the Constitution. However, another aspect of the 14th Amendment is the Equal Protection Clause. And that is what was at issue in Loving v. Virginia. So Loving v. Virginia is a Supreme Court decision in 1967 that legalized interracial marriage. And what it basically said is that banning interracial marriage, which Virginia had a law that banned it, is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause because it basically has different rules and different punishments for people on the basis of race. If you are black, a black person and a white person and you're engaged in a marriage, you get punished for that when two white people or two black people would not get punished. And so you're talking about a different element entirely of the 14th Amendment. And so for her to suggest that it's the same as the arguments on abortion is just disingenuous. But we continue to hear this argument. You guys might recall, and I know Dory played it on the show, I had a conversation with Representative Marilyn Strickland of Washington's 10th Congressional District. She is half black, half Korean. And she and I got into a back and forth because she believes and said at the time that Justice Clarence Thomas, who's in an interracial marriage, that she wouldn't put it past him to roll back Loving v. Virginia.
The idea of the Supreme Court rolling back interracial marriage to me sounds like fear mongering.
No, well, you know, maybe, you know, in your life experience, that's something that doesn't seem real to you. When my parents came to the United States and my mom and dad came from Korea, it was illegal for them to be married in my lifetime in 1964. And if you talk to some people, there are people in this country in some states who still are against interracial marriage. You think to yourself, this wouldn't happen this day and age, but you just never know what people believe and what they're willing to do.
Justice Thomas is married to a white woman.
Yes, and Justice Thomas often votes and rules on things that are against his own interests. So, yeah, you know.
I don't think that Justice Thomas would rule against something that he's actively engaged in. Do you? Let's be realistic.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Really? It would not surprise you if Justice Clarence Thomas voted to repeal the rights of interracial couples to be married?
Or he could say that moving forward, they're against the law. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. I mean, I hope the Supreme Court doesn't make a fool out of me for calling that fear-mongering, but I really don't think that we're in for a reversal of interracial marriage in this country. Can I fit one more thing in? Have you seen the list? Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of wild things. You know that I don't like making fun of Biden for his age. I'm not a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, America elected an old president. There are certain things at a certain age where you might forget your words. I have five concussions, so I forget words sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This is concerning to me, though. So President Biden was at this wind power event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he accidentally flashed a card that he'd been given by his staff. Oh, my gosh. This card, you've got to see this. It has instructions for him, for his participation in this event. It has, in all caps, you enter the Roosevelt Room and say hello to the participants. You take your seat. There's only one seat in there.
And why does your seat have to be capitalized?
I don't know. It says
your.
And then it tells him, press enters. You give brief comments. You ask Liz Schuler a question. You thank participants. You depart. It's as if they didn't put it in all caps on a list for the president, he would forget to enter and leave the room, and he'd forget to sit at the only seat in the room
right.
By the president. All right. Much more ahead as the Dory Monson Show continues. Brandi Crews filling in.